Chapter 57. A Rabbit for Supper. Matt hit uneven ground, blinded by the flash of light. Cursing, he used the Ashindarai to steady himself on the springy earth. He smelled foliage, dirt, and rotting wood. Insects buzzed in the shade. The whiteness faded, and he found himself standing outside the Tower of Genjai. He had half expected to reappear in Roydian. It appeared that the spear returned him to his world in the place where he had entered. Tom sat on the ground, propping up Moiraine, who was blinking and looking about her. Matt spun on the tower and pointed upward.
"I know you're watching,"
he said, thrilled. He had made it. He had bloody made it out alive.
"I beat you, you crusty boot-leavings! I, Matram Cawthon, survived your traps! Ha!"
He raised the Ashindarai over his head.
"And you gave me the way out! Chew on that bitterness for lunch, you flaming, burning, misbegotten liars!"
Matt beamed, slamming the spear down butt first into the ground beside him. He nodded. Nobody got the better of Matram Cawthon. They had lied to him, told him vague prophecies, and threatened him. And then they had hanged him. But Matt came out ahead in the end.
"Who was the other?"
Moraine's soft voice asked from behind.
"The one I saw but did not know."
"He didn't make it out," Tom said somberly. That dampened Matt's spirits. Their victory had come at a price, a terrible one.
Matt had been traveling with a legend all this time?
"He was a friend," Tom said softly.
"He was a great man," Matt said, turning and pulling his Ashindarai from where he had planted it in the dirt. "When you write the ballad of all this, Tom, make sure you point out that he was the hero." Tom glanced at Matt, then nodded knowingly.
"The world will want to know what happened to that man."
Light. As Matt thought about it, Tom had not been at all surprised to hear Noel was Jane Farstrider. He had known. When had he figured it out? Why had he said nothing to Matt? Some friend Tom was. Matt just shook his head.
"Well, we're out, one way or another. But Tom, next time I want to do the bloody negotiating, sneak up behind and hit me on the head with something large, heavy, and blunt. Then take over."
"Your request is noted."
"Let's move on a little way. I don't like that bloody tower looming over me."
"Yes," Moraine said. "You could say that they feed off emotion. Though I wouldn't call it feeding off so much as delighting in emotion. They don't need it to survive, but it pleases them greatly."
They sat in a wooded hollow, a short walk from the tower, next to the meadow beside the Aranel. A thick tree canopy cooled the air and obscured their view of the tower. Matt sat on a small, mossy boulder as Tom made a fire. He had a few of Aludra's strikers in his pocket, as well as some packets of tea, though there was nothing to warm the water in. Moraine sat on the ground, still wrapped in Tom's cloak, leaning back against a fallen log. She held the cloak closed from the inside, letting it envelop her completely, save for her face and those dark curls. She looked more a woman than Matt remembered. In his memories, she was like a statue. Always expressionless, face like polished stone, eyes like dark brown topazes. Now she sat with pale skin, flushed cheeks, hair curled and falling naturally around her face. She was fetching, save for that ageless Aes Sedai face. Yet that face showed far more emotion than Matt remembered. A look of fondness when she glanced at Tom, a faint shiver when she spoke of her time in the tower. She glanced at Matt, and her eyes were still appraising. Yes, this was the same Moiraine, humbled, cast down. That made her seem stronger to him for some reason. Tom blew out a hesitant flame that curled a lock of smoke into the air before flickering out. The wood was probably too wet. Tom cursed.
"It's all right, Tom," Moiraine said softly. I will be well.
I won't have you catching cold the moment we free you from that place, Tom said.
He got out a striker, but suddenly the wood sparked, and then fire sputtered to life as it consumed the two wet tinder. Matt glanced at Moraine, who had a look of concentration on her face.
Oh,
Tom said, then chuckled.
I'd forgotten about that. Nearly.
It's all I can manage now on my own, Moraine said, grimacing.
Light had Moraine grimaced before? She had been too high and mighty for that, had she not? Or was Matt remembering her wrong? Moraine. He was talking to flaming Moraine. Though he had gone into the tower with the distinct purpose of rescuing her, it seemed incredible that he was speaking with her. It was like talking to, well, like talking to Brigitta Silverbow or Jane Farstrider. Matt smiled, shaking his head. What a world this was, and what a strange place he had in it.
What did you mean by that, Moraine?
Tom asked, nurturing the fire with some sticks.
It's all you can manage.
The Aelfin and Eelfin, she explained, voice calm. They savor and relish powerful emotions. For some reason, the effects of a Taviran are even more intoxicating to them. There are other things that they enjoy.
Tom glanced at her, frowning.
My power, Tom, she explained. I could hear them barking and hissing to one another as they fed on me, both Aelfin and Eelfin in turn. They have not often had an Aes Sedai to themselves, it seems. While draining my ability to channel, they were fed twofold, my sorrow at what I was losing and the power itself. My capacity has been greatly reduced. They claim to have killed Lanfear by draining her too quickly, though I think they may have been trying to make me afraid. A man was there once when they woke me. He said I was not the one he wanted.
She hesitated, then shivered.
Sometimes I wished that they would drain me quickly and end my life.
The small camp grew silent, save for the popping of the fire. Tom looked toward Moraine, seeming helpless.
Do not show me such sorrow, Tom Marilyn, Moraine said, smiling. I have felt terrible things, but all people know such moments of despair. I believed that you would come.
She removed her hand from the cloak, revealing a slender, pale shoulder and collarbone, and reached toward him. He hesitated, then took the hand and squeezed it. Moraine looked to Matt.
And you, Matram Cawthon? Not a simple farm lad any longer. Does your eye pain you much?
Matt shrugged.
I would heal the wound if I could, Moraine said. But even were I still as strong as I once was, I couldn't restore your eye.
She looked down, releasing Tom's hand and holding up her arm.
Do you have the Angreal?
Oh, yes,
Tom said, fishing the strange bracelet out of his pocket. He put it on her arm.
With this, Moraine said, I will be strong enough to at least take some of the pain away. They placed it on me to let me draw more of the power, to make their feeding more succulent. I asked for it, actually, as one of my three demands. I did not realize they would end up using it against me.
They gave you your three demands? Matt asked, frowning.
I passed through the Tir Angreal, she said. The ancient treaty held for both of us, though with the doorway destroyed, there was no simple return. I knew from previous events that I would not escape unless you came for me, no matter what my demands were or how carefully I worded them. So I used them for the best.
What did you ask for? Matt asked. Beyond the Angreal. She smiled.
I shall keep that to myself, for now. You do have my thanks, young Matram, for my life.
Then I guess we're equal, he said. You saved me in the Two Rivers. Burn me if I haven't had a nice gallop of it since then.
And your wound?
Doesn't hurt so much. Actually, it throbbed. Really, really badly.
No need for you to waste strength on it.
Still afraid of the one power, I see. He bristled.
Afraid?
I should think you have good reason for that wariness. She looked away from him. But take care. The most displeasing of events in our lives are sometimes for our good.
Yes, she was still Moraine, quick with a moral and advice. But perhaps she had a right, after what she had been through, to lecture on suffering. Light. She had known what she would have to go through, and yet she had still pulled Lanfear into that Tyrann Griol? Maybe Matt was not the hero here, and maybe Noel was not either.
So what now?
Tom said, settling back on a stump. The warmth of the fire did feel good.
I must find Rand, Moraine said. He will need my help. I trust he has done well in my absence.
I don't know about that, Matt said. He's half mad and the whole bloody world is at one another's throats.
Colors swirled. Rand eating a meal with men. Matt dispelled the image. She raised an eyebrow.
But, Matt acknowledged, he's got most everybody pointed toward the last battle, and Baron says he managed to clean the taint from Sidene.
Blessed light, Moraine whispered.
How?
I don't know.
This changes everything, she said, smile deepening. He has fixed what he once set wrong. By the dragon came our pain, and by the dragon was the wound repaired.
Matt keeps saying we should be having a festival or something to celebrate, Tom noted. Though maybe he only wants a good excuse to get drunk.
I'd say that's a certainty, Matt added. Anyway, Rand's been busy. Elaine says he's got some kind of meeting arranged with the monarchs under him coming up soon.
Elaine is queen, then?
Sure is. Her mother was killed by Ravin, Matt said.
So you told me.
I did? When?
A lifetime ago, Matram,
she replied, smiling.
Oh. Well, Rand finished him off, so that's good.
And the other Forsaken?
Moraine asked.
Dunno, Matt said.
Matt's been too busy to keep track, Tom added. He's been spending his time marrying the Empress of the Shonchan.
Moraine blinked in surprise.
You did what? It was an accident, Matt said lamely, hunching down.
You accidentally married the Shonchan Empress?
They've got some odd customs, Matt said, pulling his hat down. Strange folk.
He forced out a chuckle.
Tavirin, Moraine said.
Somehow he had known she would say that. Light. Well, it was good to have her back.
Matt was surprised at how strongly he felt that.
Who would have thought it? Affection for an Aes Sedai. From him.
Well, she said, I can see there are many tales I need to be told, but for now we will need to seek out Rand.
He had also known that she would try to take charge. You find him, Moraine, but I've got things to do in Camelin. Don't mean to argue and all, but that's the fact of it. You should come there too. Elaine's more likely than anyone else to be able to help you with Rand.
Bloody colors. As if having one eye were not bad enough, he had those flaming visions bunching up his sight every time he so much as thought of Rand.
Burn those visions.
Moran raised an eyebrow as he shook his head, then blushed. He probably looked like he was having a fit.
We shall see, Matram, she said,
then glanced at Tom, who stood holding the packets of tea. Matt half thought he would try to boil water in his own hands, if only to get some warm tea for Moraine. Tom looked at her, and she held out her hand again.
Dearest Tom, she said, I would have you for a husband if you'll have me for a wife.
What?
Matt said, standing up. He raised a hand to his forehead, nearly knocking his hat free.
What did you say?
Hush, Matt, Tom said.
He did not take Moraine's offered hand.
You know I've never much liked women who can channel the one power, Moraine.
I don't have much of the power now, dearest Tom, Without this Angreal, I wouldn't be strong enough to be raised accepted in the White Tower. I will throw it away if you wish it of me.
She lifted out her other hand, barely staying modest. She pulled off the Angreal.
I don't think so, Moraine,
Tom said, kneeling down, taking her hands.
No, I won't rob you of anything.
But with it I'll be very strong. Stronger in the power than before I was taken.
So be it then,
he said. He put the bracelet back on her wrist.
I'll marry you now if you wish it.
She smiled deeply. Matt stood stunned. And who's going to bloody marry you? He blurted out. It sure as thunder isn't going to be me, I'll tell you that. The two glanced at him, Tom with a flat stare, Moraine with a hint of a smile.
I can see why the Shan Chan woman had to have you, Matt, she noted. You certainly have a mind for romance.
I just... He pulled off his hat, holding it awkwardly, looking back and forth between them. I just... Burn me! How did I miss this? I was with the two of you most of the time you were together. When did you become affectionate?
You weren't watching very closely, Tom said.
He turned back to Moraine.
I'll assume you'll want me as a warder, too.
She smiled.
My previous guidance has been appropriated by another by now, I hope.
I'll take the job, Tom said. Though you'll have to explain to Elaine why her court bard is someone's warder.
He hesitated.
You think they can make one of those color-changing cloaks with some patches on it?
Well, you two have gone bloody insane, I see, Matt said. Tom, didn't you once tell me that the two most painful places for you to be were Tarvalin and Camelin? Now you're running headlong down the hillside that will end up with you living in one or the other. Tom shrugged.
Times change.
I never have spent much of my time in Tarvalin, Moraine said. I think we shall enjoy traveling together, Tom Marilyn. Should we survive the months to come?
She looked at Matt.
You should not spurn the water bond so easily, Matt. The blessings it provides will be of great use to men in these days.
Matt pulled his hat back on. That may be true, but you'll never see me bloody trapped by one. No offense, Moraine. I like you well enough. But to be bonded to a woman? Isn't going to happen to Matram Cawthon.
Is that so?
Tom asked, amused.
Didn't we determine that your Tuon would be capable of channeling, should she decide to learn?
Matt froze. Bloody ashes. Tom was right. But channeling would make her Marath Damani. She would not do such a thing. He did not have to worry. Did he? He must have made a face at the thought, for Tom chuckled and Moraine smiled again. The two of them soon lost interest in sporting with Matt, however, and turned to a soft discussion. That affection in their eyes was true. They did love each other. Light. How had Matt missed it? He felt like a man who had brought a hog to a horse race. He decided to make himself scarce, leaving the two of them alone. He went to scout the area where their gateway was supposed to appear. It had better. They had no supplies, and Matt did not fancy flagging down a ship and riding the long way back to Camelin. It was a short hike across the meadow to the banks of the Arunel. Once there, he made a small cairn for Noel, then tipped his hat to it and sat down to wait and think. Moraine was safe. Matt had survived, though that bloody socket throbbed like nothing else. He still was not certain if the Aelfin and Eelfin had strings around him or not, but he had gone into their den and come out unscathed. Mostly, anyway. One eye lost. What would that do to his ability to fight? That worried him more than anything. He had put on a brave front, but inside he trembled. What would Tuon think of a husband missing an eye? A husband who might not be able to defend himself. He pulled out a knife, flipping it. Then, on a whim, he tossed it behind him without looking. He heard a soft screech, then turned to see a rabbit slumped to the ground, speared by the idly thrown knife. He smiled, then turned back to the river. There, he noticed something caught between two large river stones along the shore. It was an overturned cooking pot with a copper bottom, barely used, only dinged on the sides a couple of times. It must have been dropped by a traveler walking up the river. Yes, he might not be able to judge distance, and he might not be able to see as well. But luck worked better when you were not looking anyway. He smiled wider, then fetched the rabbit, he would skin that for supper, and plucked the pot out of the river. Moraine would get her tea after all.